Welcome to It's the ADHD Friendly Show, where we explore all things productivity, well-being, and living our best damn ADHD lives at home and at work. My name is Karen McGill. I'm a certified ADHD life coach, and I'm here to help you do life better. Y'all, I know I don't have to tell you that ADHD symptoms can sometimes be very debilitating. And I think chief among them are the two that I'm going to talk about today, and that is impulsivity and our tendency to become very distractible. This is actually the fourth video in a series that I'm doing for adults who've been newly diagnosed with ADHD and they don't know where to go, what to do, or really even understand what this diagnosis is. So in the first video, we talked about executive function, then we talked about energy management to avoid burnout and exhaustion. Then we went through ADHD productivity to avoid overwhelm and procrastination. Then we covered emotional regulation, which is a big part of ADHD. And today we're talking about impulsivity and distractibility and what we can do to manage it better so that you can live the life you want to live rather than living in a sense of reactivity where you're always just reacting to whatever's coming at you from the environment. So let's break down those two symptoms first, starting with impulsivity. So adults and children with ADHD have a tendency to interrupt people when they're talking or blurt out things that they really shouldn't be saying or buying all the things and then regretting it later. And the main reason for that, simplistically speaking, is that our behavioral impulses is faster than our thought process about what might happen as a result of that behavior. So when you have a busy brain, it's very hard for you to slow your roll and consider whether or not you should really say what you're about to say or buy that thing that you know you're never ever going to use. So it goes without saying that our impulsivity can really get in the way of our relationships, our bank accounts, and just the way we go through life. Now let's talk about distractibility, which is sort of the cornerstone symptom given the name attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. But the interesting thing is that it's a bit of a misnomer because it's not that we have a deficit of attention at all. I mean, I can pay attention to something that I find riveting forever and forget that I even have a body or a life or that, you know, time is passing. The problem is that our attention spans are very often dysregulated, meaning we can't always control what it is our brain wants to pay attention to. So if there's something that we're supposed to be doing, like a particular class that we're supposed to be taking or doing our taxes, but there's something much juicier going on over here, then it is literally almost impossible for us to move our brain from the juicy thing over here to the task at hand. And that can get us into all kinds of trouble: procrastination, lack of self-trust, lack of other people trusting us to actually follow through to do something because we can't keep our attention on something long enough to actually see it through. And that's a big problem for us. I'm sure I don't have to tell you that. So the question then becomes, how can we manage our impulsivity and distractibility so that we can follow through on the things that we want to do in life rather than just falling down like a myriad of different rabbit holes? I know you guys know what I'm talking about, and I know firsthand how frustrating this can be. So when it comes to managing distractibility and impulsivity, there's really two ways that I like to tackle it, if you will, from a global or macro standpoint, and then from a micro standpoint, or how I like to say, point of performance. So let's talk about managing these symptoms at a macro level. And it's really something that's going to help you manage all of your ADHD symptoms. And that is really looking at you as an individual person and really understanding what it is you need to run at your optimal self. What do I mean by that? I'll give you an example from my own life. If I don't get at least 8 hours sleep a night, if I don't move my body every day, if I don't go outside, if I don't meditate, if I don't hydrate like a crazy person, usually if I don't even do yoga or any sort of like mind-body practice, I am typically not functioning very well. And by that, I mean I'm tired, I'm cranky, I'm overeating, I'm overreactive, I'm emotionally dysregulated. That's when I'm impulsively buying things. That's when I'm impulsively saying things I shouldn't. That's when I'm not productive at work. And that's when I just kind of want to hibernate and isolate myself. Those things do not feel good to me. That is suboptimal Karen. But I now know what I need to be my full self and my best self so I can show up for my family, my friends, for myself, and for you guys here as well. So I take my wellness and my self-care, whatever you want to call that, very, very seriously. And I know that when I do all of those things and check those boxes, my ADHD symptoms are very manageable and sometimes just not even there. So that is my way of managing my ADHD symptoms at that global level. Yours might look slightly different. However, there are certain behaviors that I think we all across the board need to take very seriously. And primarily the most important element is getting good sleep. I've talked about it before, but if you are underslept, if you are exhausted, your brain is not functioning optimally, you can almost guarantee that your ADHD symptoms are going to be at their worst. I also highly recommend working out, moving your body in some way, whether it's strenuous or not, and also getting outside and having habits that you do daily that you actually look forward to. So finding that right combination for you is going to be part of this lifestyle design element that we're going to get into in a minute. But the idea here is to think about yourself as a unique individual and holistically. So rather than trying to follow other people's routines and rhythms, get curious about what really works for you. Try things, experiment, and then see if they make you feel better or worse. See if they make you feel more in control of your ADHD symptoms or a little less in control. You've got to design those elements for yourself, but it has to start with sleep because sleep is the number one thing that our busy brains need to function well. And if you can figure that out, not only are you going to be much more in control of where your attention goes or being able to manage it for a longer period of time, but you'll also be less reactive and impulsive. Now let's talk about managing impulsivity and distractibility at the micro level. And this is around point of performance, right? So it's where the actions actually take place. And again, let's break them down. So starting with impulsivity, ask yourself, where do you tend to behave most impulsively? Do you buy things that you shouldn't buy? Do you say yes to things you know you shouldn't be saying yes to? Or do you speak out of turn and interrupt people when they're speaking? When you think about where it shows up for you, this is where you want to get curious about what is generally happening when that impulsive behavior comes up. Let me give you an example from a client I worked with who had an impulsive spending problem. It was constantly Amazon packages coming to the door. She couldn't really control her impulsive spending, and it was causing a lot of financial strife in her family's situation. And when we dug into it, we found that it was actually her bedtime routine that was actually leading her to impulsively spend. So she was a night owl, going to bed at like 3 o'clock in the morning and then waking up later the following morning. So she was getting enough sleep. But in those wee hours of the morning when she was on her own and puttering around and it was late and maybe she was getting a little bit tired, she'd pick up her phone and start thinking about all of the things that she either needed or things that she thought she needed because of the person she wanted to be. So as the night progressed and she was getting more and more tired, her thoughts were becoming more and more emotion driven. And with that, your reactive behaviors become a lot faster than your thought process. So the light bulb moment for her was that if she wanted to curb her spending, she would actually have to start going to bed earlier with her family and maybe reading for a little while before she goes to sleep, but not being near her phone and being in bed and ready to fall asleep. And that helped her dramatically reduce her spending habits. For me, impulsive spending would get triggered whenever I got a sale email from one of my favorite stores. Didn't matter that I didn't need anything. If there was a sale, I was going after it. So my simple fix was just to unsubscribe myself from all of those emails. I didn't need to know about a sale. I knew whenever there's a holiday, there's usually a great sale, so I wasn't feeling the FOMO of missing out on something. But in the spirit of lifestyle design, I started taking that a little bit further and creating rules or boundaries for myself, and not in a rigid way, but in a way that helped me counterbalance impulsive thinking. So for example, instead of shopping at a bunch of different places, I now only shop at two places, Target and Amazon, because it's easy to buy, but it's also easy to return. They make it completely frictionless, and I no longer have the desire or impulsivity to just go to a mall and randomly shop for fun. So that little rule, as simple as it may sound, was a pattern interrupt, and it completely eliminated my impulsive desire to either go to a mall and shop or shop online. I just don't do it anymore and I don't even miss it. The same thing happened to me with books. I used to buy a ton of books, and of course I would only read about 50% of them, and even that's being generous. And now I have a rule that I don't buy physical books anymore. I have like maybe four or five physical books that I've kept over time that are really special to me. And everything else I either listen to on Audible or I read on my Kindle, and I borrow them in a digital format from the library as much as I can so that if I don't enjoy it, then I won't feel bad about not reading it, moving on to the next thing. So the point here is to think about where impulsivity shows up for you and think about the trigger behind it and how can you design your lifestyle to eliminate those triggers. And what you will find over time is if you can eliminate the trigger for an impulsive behavior, you will eventually forget about it and it will no longer be a problem for you. Now, when it comes to impulsivity in social situations, that's a little harder to design for. But if it's somebody you trust, maybe you can tell them, hey, listen, I'm trying to practice not interrupting people. If I interrupt you, will you pause and say, may I finish? And that will really help me become more aware of when I'm interrupting. The other thing you can try is practicing conscious listening. So I'm talking to you right now. How conscious are you of what I'm saying? Am I going in one ear and out the other? Or are you actually absorbing what I'm saying? So try when you're talking to other people to really listen to what they're saying. Maybe watch their lips move or their facial expressions instead of thinking of your response to whatever it is they're saying. I know that can be really hard, but it is something that you can practice and refine over time. Now let's talk about distractibility. And again, I want you to get really curious about where it shows up for you. For me, when I've talked about this before, but when I sit down at my desk in the morning, if I look at my email before I look at my to-do list, then I'm immediately going to lose 2 hours because every email has a call to action or something I need to do or something that's going to inspire a new thought or an idea. And the next thing you know, I will go down a million rabbit holes. But if I look at my to-do list first, it anchors me and it anchors my day. Sometimes I have to look at my to-do list and then write it out in pen and paper as well. So I really get it into my brain that these are the things I need to get done today. And if I need a little bit more help to prioritize, I might rewrite my to-do list in order of what needs to get done first, second, and third. That really helps my brain structure and focus on what is the most important thing at hand. And that, of course, is an executive function, which can be really hard for ADHDers. But when you externalize these activities, like I just explained, it makes it a lot easier to think through what needs to be done and in what priority. Another thing that occurred to me very early on when I got my diagnosis was that I was far more distractible when there was things in my way. Like right now, I'm actually having a bit of a hard time focusing because I've got some clutter on my desk. Obviously, there's none back here because I'm very intentional about trying to make this place look as neat as possible. But if there's things in my line of sight, my eyeballs are immediately directed there and it's really hard for me to look away. So I've become very conscious of just tidying as I go and keeping things off of surfaces and countertops because not only does it distract me, but I find that I'm a lot calmer when I don't have a lot of clutter in my line of sight. So let's workshop this. Think of an area in your life where you tend to get distracted. And if you can't think of one because you just generally are always distracted, it might be that the question was too big, right? Very often we get distracted when we have too many options or too many choices. So that creates a sense of overwhelm. And then we just sort of like bug out and do something else. So coming back to this question, if we were to narrow the focus a little, think about where do you get distracted at work or at home or in the morning when you're getting ready? Like, think about an area where it's really sort of debilitating and getting in the way of you functioning well or doing the things you want to do. So when you think about what generally gets you distracted, think about what is it that's pulling your attention away. What is the trigger? It can be a thought, it can be an emotion, it can be sensory. So it's something maybe that you hear or that you're looking at and you see. So think about what it is and then ask yourself, is this something that I can physically remove from my environment? So if it's something that's visually distracting, is it something that I can move away? If it's someone in the cubicle next door that's really noisy, can I put on noise-canceling earbuds? Think about what you can do to alter the design of your space to manipulate that trigger and your distraction to it. If it's emotion or a thought, think about what's behind that. Like I mentioned, very often we get distracted when we feel overwhelmed and we don't know what choice to make. Or it might be that we don't know what the next step is in whatever it is we're supposed to be doing. So we go do something else, hoping that that is magically going to help us understand what the next step is. But rarely does that happen. So if you find yourself in those moments when there's something that you need to do but you find yourself being compelled to do something else. Like that feeling of distraction is coming up. If you can remember to do this, pause and just check in and ask yourself, why am I being triggered to move to something else? Is it because that's more interesting, which, you know, it's fair enough. Or is there something that's missing, like a gap in knowledge or confidence where I don't quite know what the next step is? And that's what's compelling me to move away from whatever it is I'm supposed to be doing to doing anything other than that thing. And that's when we move from distraction into procrastination. And in that moment of self-inquiry, you might also realize that it's not about the thing you're supposed to be doing. So it might not be about procrastination, but it's distraction because internally, you're dealing with a really strong emotion. It could be something that happened earlier and you're ruminating on it. It can be shame, anger, any of those really strong, compelling emotions that your attention is immediately going to want to chew on rather than dealing with whatever it is in front of you. And in those moments when your brain is distracted by an internal emotion, the best thing you can do is a pattern interrupt. When you are ruminating, your brain is in the default mode network. And what you want to do is bring it into the task positive network where it's able to focus on something or anything other than what's happening inside with all that rumination. So you want to get up and walk around, dance to some loud music, shake your body, call a friend, do anything where you're immediately doing a pattern interrupt from that ruminating behavior and moving into something else, something that's going to be equally, if not more compelling. And you don't need to do it for a long period of time. If you're at the office, just get up from your desk and do a quick brisk walk around the office or go outside. Do something that will shake the emotional hold you have on that thought or idea so that you can bring yourself back into the present moment and focus on what it is you need to get done. Now, before we wrap up, I want to give you a few more practical ideas about how you can think about lifestyle design in terms of your home environment, your work environment, and the places that you spend a lot of time and the people you spend time with. So I'll give you a few examples from my own life. The way I've set up my home and my workspace is all designed to make the behaviors that I tend to be impulsive around or the things that tend to distract me as unlikely or as difficult as possible. What do I mean by that? I know that if there are chips in my house, for example, I will impulsively eat them. I have absolutely no self-control when it comes to any sort of salty snack. Conversely, there's actually things in my fridge that I do want to eat, so I situate them right front and center. So whenever I open the door to get a snack, which is very often, they're sitting right there in front of me and they are frictionless because they're prepared so I can take them out and eat them right away. Likewise, when it comes to exercise or movement, that's not actually something that's natural for me. I'm somebody who naturally loves to be a couch potato. So I've set up my environment so it's easy for me to get my movement in. I have my yoga mat sitting rolled up in my living room that I will literally trip over. And that reminds me that I've got to roll it out and actually use it. I always work out at home and I try to make a habit of getting my workout done first thing because the longer I delay it throughout the day, the less likely it is to happen. So making those good behaviors, you know, the ones that help me with my impulsivity and distractibility, making them as frictionless as possible goes a long way to helping me manage all of my symptoms overall. I also have important things that need to get done every day in my line of sight. So things like medications or supplements or anything that I need to remember to do is always right in front of me. And if it's something that I have to leave the house with, it's always sitting by the door because I will 100% of the time forget whatever it is I'm supposed to take with me. And coming back to that sensory experience, personally, I find that I am much more able to focus and I feel a lot more relaxed when I have some chill music playing in the background. Nothing with vocals and nothing too loud, but just enough that I can hear it and it kind of calms my nervous system. And then I also have, I don't think you can see it, but it's back here, an essential oil diffuser, one that shuts off automatically so I don't need to remember to turn it off, but just giving myself like a calming sense in my room tends to calm my nervous system, make me feel more safe and present in the moment. And when I feel that way, I'm far less distracted and far more able to focus. So at the end of the day, it comes down to being curious about where you specifically tend to be most distracted or act most impulsively. And I'll give you a hint, it's usually when your nervous system feels a little jacked up or when you're feeling pretty tired. So if you can start to manage your environment to make yourself feel more comfortable, whether it's what's in your line of sight or what you're listening to or what you can smell or the comfort of clothes that you're wearing. Anything you can do to manage that is going to go a long way to managing your focus and your ability to manage your own impulsivity. And if that sounds like a lot of hassle, you're right. At the beginning, it is. It takes a lot of effort to set up your life so that it works well for you. But here's the thing. If you can invest a little bit of hard mode now to get all of this stuff set up for yourself now, it's a huge investment for your future self, not just tomorrow and the next day, but your future self 20 years down the road who won't have to suffer the impulsive decisions that you made today. So take the time to invest in yourself today. Set up your environment and your lifestyle in a way that mitigates distraction and impulsivity. And trust me, you're gonna thank me 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road. So I hope this was helpful. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you in the next video. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening. For links and resources for this podcast, please visit itsadhdfriendly.com or click the link in the show description. Please also be sure to subscribe so you get automatic updates when new shows are posted. And of course, please do leave us an ADHD-friendly review. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.